So October 15th, Meghan Markle announced that she is pregnant. So when this happened for me, I didn't go right to the news and, wow, this changes my world. But it did change the news I was looking at. It was all over the news. When we were having Jeremiah, for example, and even Abigail, we didn't quite put it in the news like that, but we gave each side of the family a Christmas ornament that told the news. And a lot of people do baby announcements, they do birth announcements in creative ways. Now for myself, getting a little personal here, I love to watch baby announcements. You ever seen those on YouTube where the woman or the man, they say it to their parents or their grandparents, and the look of amazement, the smile on their faces is something I enjoy watching. When Rebecca was pregnant with Abby, Rebecca came in with Jeremiah to the school I was at with a shirt on Jeremiah that said, "Best Big Bro." And even him at his, well, he was quite young. Even him at that age, he was just smiling. He knew something was up. So here's a couple things in common with all the baby announcements, birth announcements that we hear about today. Number one, they happen when the woman is pregnant. Number two, the gender is not known before the baby is conceived. These are all obvious things that we know, but I want to make those known before we enter the text this morning. As we do a brief two-week study on Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, we're going to see this announcement, this sort of baby announcement that is unlike any announcement that we are used to. So as I said before, if you have your Bibles ready, or the one in front of you, or it will be behind me, there's quite a few options for you, so you have no excuse. Isaiah 9, 6, and I'll actually read from here as well. This is what it says. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So we're going to go through each part of this verse and look at what that actually means for us. What does it mean for us that he's called Wonderful Counselor, things like that. But of course, firstly, I want to focus on just the first two lines. For to us, a child is born, and to us, a son is given. Now, typically, biblical historians, theologians put Isaiah before about 700 years before the arrival of Mary giving birth to Jesus. And as Stephen Whitmer points out, you can see this quote in your sermon notes. "The 700-year delay was not because God was unable to fulfill his promise sooner, but because he wanted to give his people the hope of a future king to sustain them through dark times. The long period between promise and fulfillment was, in fact, a gift from God to his people." Isaiah declared through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that God would have a child born. "For to us a child is born." Now the wording of the son is a little different. He says the son is given. The child will be born, but the son will be given. This means a couple things. Number one, Isaiah wanted to make a point that this particular baby, as the promised Messiah, wouldn't be just a common baby. Number two, God wanted to make sure that his people knew that God himself would give the son. He wouldn't just provide the means to have the child born, but through God, he would provide the son. The son would be given. Let's keep on going here. "The government will be on his shoulders." So the child who will be born, the son will be given, the government will be on his shoulders. The original Hebrew word for government actually means rule or dominion. That's sort of the translation, that's what it would say. Rule or dominion. So you can read it like this. "And the rule or dominion will be on his shoulders." God will give the son complete authority over all, complete rule over all. The government will be on his shoulders. As a child growing up in church, I loved this image. The government will be on his shoulders. What does that mean? Like, is someone actually going to be on his shoulders? What does that mean? But it means that God has given Jesus. Jesus has the complete rule and authority as fully man and fully God. And it's not as if Jesus feels like having the government on his shoulders. It's not a suggestion, it is a command, it is a proclamation. It's a guarantee from God that this child who will be born and the son who is given will have the government on his shoulders. Now, like Meghan Markle, I just mentioned a few moments ago in the beginning, and the baby that she is carrying right now, there are babies in this world that as soon as they come, they have some sort of position of power. Whether that's a king and a queen of a country, having a child, or someone else in royalty, or even on some political stages as well. When they're born, they're given a title. Duke, I think, is one of them. Duchess, prince, princess, those are all the ones that I could think of. Maybe you know some other ones. As we'll soon read in this verse, and as you can see behind me, the coming Messiah was one, like many of the royalty we see today, would be born with some sort of power, but unlike getting one title, he got multiple. And unlike having that power for use of possibly aggression, he used it in a different way. 700 years later, after this proclamation, after this baby announcement, we see God's promise come to fruition. Jesus, the child who was born and the son who was given, came into our world, was given power right away. The government will be on his shoulders. He had power before and was given power in the form of a human being. And like many of the people we see today, we see Jesus, the Messiah, born as a baby and throughout his ministry, later in life, declares that power as one of humility, one as a servant. And I really like that song we sang earlier, "Make Me a Servant." Philippians 2, 6 to 8, this is in your sermon notes. This is what it says. Paul writes to the church in Philippi, "Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." In our men's study that has been happening for about three times so far, we've been reminded that as men, and for Jesus, it took strength for him to be humble. It took strength for Jesus to be humble, and I think that is true. For Jesus, as him having the government on his shoulders, it would have been easy. Easy for him to have people serve him, to have people fight wars for him, and so on and so on. And yet we see Jesus, one who was given absolute rule and dominion, having the government on his shoulders, take the role of a servant. So the question out of this little part has to be for us, at least a practical application, is how often do you, and this is to me as well, in your position of power decide to take the role of a servant instead? How often do you, in your position of power, decide to take the role of a servant instead? As a parent or a grandparent, perhaps, do you see yourself as a servant? As one who works in your company, or in your team, or in whatever vocation, job you are in, how do you handle that? With even a little rule or dominion on you, a little power, how do you handle it? As you think about this, the next part of this verse really talks about things that are unique to Jesus. And because he was a servant, this is how he would be portrayed, and this is his titles. Now, there are some baby announcements that tell the name, if they know the gender, or maybe they've even picked out a name for each gender, just in case. And as we continue to look at this baby announcement, I'll call it that, of mass proportions, the biggest one of all time, God has not only given the details of the child will be born, the son will be given, and the government will be on his shoulders, but he's given titles, qualities that are shown in names. We have many details of the baby announcement so far. All that's left is the name. But in a really incredible way, God gives four of them. So like myself, if you didn't know, and like my kids and a lot of people, there are people who have four names. Two middle names and a first and last. But this isn't quite like that. It's not as if Wonderful Counselor and Prince of Peace are his first and last name. No, these are unique to Jesus. So let's take a look at these one by one. First one, Wonderful Counselor. Now this one highlights the wisdom. In your sermon notes, there are brackets there. You can put wisdom. Jesus listens with the highest amount of wisdom. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God. This highlights strength. Jesus is strong and able to show that strength with humility and humbleness. The third one, Everlasting Father. This one probably highlights the love. The love. Jesus cares and loves his children forever and never lets go of them. Number four, Prince of Peace. This one is pretty self-explanatory. It highlights the peace of God, how Jesus completes, he makes life whole. Now, these names tell us not what he will be called exactly, but probably more importantly, what he will do. This is why it's unique. Now, at least the birth announcements or the baby announcements that I know of or I have seen, they don't really tell of the baby's accomplishments. And probably because the parents see that the baby doesn't really have any accomplishments thus far. I know for us, at least, the only accomplishments that our babies had for the first little while were sleeping, that was a big accomplishment, eating, maybe sucking the thumb. The list can go on. But for God, the announcement of the future Messiah was one where he knew he had to list the accomplishments, the qualities, and give them four titles. So imagine reading this with me. You're at the coffee table, you're drinking coffee, you're having breakfast. You have the newspaper in front of you and you read a baby announcement. Sometimes people put them in there. Mom and Dad are happy to announce the birth of future CEO of blank. Millionaire at 25 years old. Future pastor of Cremona Congregational Church. Etc. You could keep on going. Now you would either have to think that the parents are absolutely crazy, or that they are very confident on what the child will be or will do. This is the same for God. Not that he's crazy, but that he was very confident and he knew. He was sure, in fact, that he made it sure to declare 700 years or more before the sun would come, that the child would be born. You will have rule and reign over all, but you will have these titles to his name. And as we've seen today, as we'll see next week as well with verse 7 of this chapter, God had a plan to redeem and restore the relationship between him and humanity. He had a plan to have a child born, not any child in a normal way, or rather not a normal child, but the Son. God's own Son would be given. He would be given the government on his shoulders, complete rule and reign, rule and dominion. He'd be called four unique names: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, who in here likes baby announcements? Who likes watching them? Who likes being them? Yeah? So there's quite a few of us. Man, you can say you like them. That's okay. That's okay. Oh, Steve, there we go. He put his hand up very quickly. Very quickly. It's okay. See, I don't think I'm alone in enjoying them or liking them. Whether it's a smile that gets put on your face or you enjoy seeing the smiles of the faces of people around them, there is something that happens to us when we hear that announcement. If you're here today and you are a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, you've been brought into relationship with Jesus, who is the source of all wisdom. He's the Wonderful Counselor. Protection. He's the Mighty God. Fatherly love. Everlasting Father. And of course, a peace that completes each area in your life. Now, if you're a Christian today, the challenge for us this Christmas season, and I think a lot of Christmas seasons, is for this season itself to be one of joy. And I say this is a challenge because the world, society tends to reel us in almost too easily to the society of consumerism, busyness, and that does not bring joy, at least for me. Yes, Christmas is not for 37 days, but it is now the time to pray that God would reveal the joy in your heart for Jesus, so that primarily you can love Jesus more, but also so that people can see Christ in you. If you don't feel joy today, if you haven't really felt joy all year, I don't think you're alone. But the challenge for you is the same. Ask God to do the same thing. Reveal the joy that you had for Jesus. Oh, this world is hungry. I know this world is hungry for an answer to the problems of life. We all encounter the same issues in life, Christians, non-Christians. Whether it's problems in marriage, finance problems, we all want an answer to those problems. And if you're a Christian today, you know that answer. That answer is Jesus. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Nobody will ask you, nobody will even think to ask you about this if they do not see any reason to ask you. As the body of Christ, we need to give the world around us a reason to ask us, which means that especially in a season like Christmas, a season like Christmas, we must ask God to reveal Jesus through us and for Him to reveal us the opportunities to share Him, to share Him. Now, if you're not a Christian today, I want you to ask the question of Jesus to yourself. Now, God had given a baby announcement close to 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And this announcement declares some pretty bold things. I know for us who grew up in the church, we could probably say this verse with our eyes closed. But these are some very bold announcements. To us, a child is born, a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. Just that is very bold. Now, if God actually gave his son through the birth of a child, gave him rule and reign over all, and gave him four unique names, what kind of impact would that have on your life? If that was true, what kind of impact would that have on your life right now and everything you know? 700 years later, after this verse in Isaiah, God stood true to his promise. He sent his son to be a baby through the physical birth of a young woman named Mary. The baby grew up to have the government on his shoulders, and with that power, he took the position of a servant and gave his life as a ransom for many. So as I near to the end today, we need to ask the question, and specifically we need to ask this question with sermons. Why does any of this matter? Why does any of this matter? I mean, why does it matter that, for example, God gave the Son and the child will be born? Why does it matter to us in 2018, yes, almost 2019, but 2018 as people of Cremona and the surrounding area? Why does it matter? Let me say this. If Jesus was simply a child, completely human child, he wouldn't have revealed the Father. We wouldn't have a visible picture of God. Jesus, the Son of God, wouldn't have been able to relate to the suffering of this world. He wouldn't have been able to relate to the temptations of the world and to the humanity of the world in as deep a way. He wouldn't have been able to own the four names revealed today. Jesus wouldn't be the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, because all four of those are only unique to God. Now, the reality after reading this verse should be that we feel some sort of joy. Even the kids turning around at the children's time saying, "Jesus is coming," should have revealed some sort of joy in our hearts. But sometimes it doesn't, and I think that's the case for some of us. So I want to tell you why it matters that we have joy with this. And if you do not feel any joy, you need to reevaluate your understanding of Jesus. Let me explain that here today. If you're here today and are attending a church service for the first time in many years, many months, many weeks, you probably have some understanding of Jesus. But I want to challenge that understanding with the power of the text we have read today. This baby announcement took place 700 years before the arrival of Jesus on this planet. Since this is the case, if you have not been with a body of Christ, a local body of believers for many time, you need to remember this. Jesus is not a concept. He's not a concept. Well, let me say this. He's not even a picture in a foyer. He's not a concept. He's not a picture in the foyer. He is a person. Jesus is a person. God is not a concept. God is not a concept. He is a reality shown most visibly in the person of Jesus Christ. And when you even begin to taste that, even begin to realize that, everything about you changes. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We have that command. And when you even begin to taste, see that, realize that, everything changes. The way you live, your relationships in life, the way you work at your job, everything changes. Now, it can be incredibly easy to feel joy at the sight of a new baby or the news of a baby announcement. But during the Christmas season especially, it feels like the only times we encounter or experience joy is when we're singing what song? Joy to the world. Joy to the world. Now, if that's your usual Christmas, which it probably is for some of you, I want to encourage you to have a fresh encounter with the living God, a fresh encounter with Jesus. And if you have not opened up this in many months, weeks, days, open it up. God speaks primarily through His Word. Now think about what that means to you. If you have joy reading this verse, or if you don't, think about that. So my prayer for you and challenge for you is that God would reveal and bring about joy in your heart so that you would feel and be made alive and you can delight and truly taste that the Lord Jesus is good. God has not just sent a child. He has given the Son, born to die and died to live so that you can have the ultimate freedom and have life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this reminder, even though it's just one verse in your entire word. Lord, as we gear up for Christmas, may we not be blinded, may we not be distracted by the various things that hinder us from experiencing joy, especially this Christmas season. Lord, we pray that you reveal the joy for all of us, that we would not just have joy singing Joy to the World or other songs or things like that, but we would have joy the whole Christmas season, telling people, showing people the fact of the reason for the season. In Jesus' name, amen.